Good morning. This is Abby with your Daily Berlin Briefing for Monday, February 18th, 2019. On this day in 1943, the Nazis arrested the members of the White Rose Movement. The red-red-green Berlin Senate still wants to achieve its self-imposed goal of 30,000 new apartments by the end of the legislative period in 2021. According to Mayor Michael Mueller, 24 to 25,000 apartments would in any case be completed by the state-owned companies. In order to close the gap, building permits are to be issued more quickly, and smaller projects are to be approved even without a development plan. Up to 2,700 apartments could be built in this way. Mueller said that the simplified procedure does not only apply to municipal, but also to the private housing companies. However, it should only be used for smaller construction projects where there is, quote, no need to argue about access roads, kindergartens, and school buildings. For larger projects where the social infrastructure is also at stake, a development plan still would be needed. In addition, the Senate is now exploring how areas can be used even more intensely. For example, Mueller would like to build houses on supermarket parking spaces. At the same time, he rejected the proposal of the CDU parliamentary group in the House of Representatives that supermarkets should make their parking spaces available to residents overnights. CDU Secretary General Stefan Evers had asked the Senate on Tuesday to make at least one pilot project possible. With regard to possible further apartment purchases, Mueller would like to have as much municipal ownership as possible because he thinks that the government can slow down price increases. However, Berlin cannot buy properties under any circumstances and at any price. It must be possible to finance a buyback, and it must make sense for a municipal company to take over and manage the apartments. In addition, the need for investment must not be too high. Most recently, a municipal housing company had bought back 1,800 apartments in Berlin's Cosmos district on the southern edge of the city. According to RBB, the company paid around $250 million, and the state of Berlin added $36.5 million from the purchase fund to support the project. Another child has apparently become a victim of a xenophobic attack. According to police reports on Saturday, a 14-year-old girl was beaten and insulted by a man in the Rummelsburg district of Lichtenberg on Friday evening. The alarmed officers found the child lying on a sidewalk after the attack and was later treated as an outpatient in hospital. As reported by police, according to the girl and witnesses, the 14-year-old was beaten about the ribs and then insulted by the man for no reason, and a 32-year-old suspect had been identified. The latter had indicated to the officials that in the past there had been verbal attacks by young people from a nearby youth center. On Friday afternoon, the suspect was supposedly approached by a 15-year-old, attacked, and slightly injured. It is now being determined whether the acts are connected. Last weekend, several xenophobic attacks on a total of 4 children and young people in Berlin caused headlines. According to police, 2 Syrian girls, aged 15 and 16, 1 12-year-old girl, and 1 12-year-old boy, were insulted by unknown perpetrators. 3 of the minor victims were also beaten and slightly injured during the attacks. Sebastian Fiedler, chairman of the Federation of Criminal Investigators, or the BDK, doesn't think that the fight against criminal clans in Berlin is effective. He is demanding more efforts and a nationwide uniform approach by investigators. At the same time, Fiedler accuses politics of relying on pure show effects in the prosecution of criminal clans, stating that, quote, the politics of the kleine Nadelstiche, or small pinpricks, is effective in the public eye, but it doesn't hit the segment of organized crime. He is demanding more highly qualified criminalists to fight organized crime. Another problem is that there are no uniform national pictures of the situation. For the BDK federal chairman, the federal situation summaries are useful, and there is no need for police secrets. In such a broad public debate, he says it's legitimate to tell the population what the investigators are actually talking about and investigating. Berlin, which is considered the center of Klan crime alongside Bremen, North Rhine-Westphalia, and Lower Saxony, has not yet produced any situation summaries in this area. From this year on, this will change. The BDK federal chairman sharply criticized a policy that relies more on short-term success. In recent weeks, the authorities had increased the pressure on criminals nationwide, also in Berlin. There have been repeated searches of apartments, confiscations of cars, and, as reported last week on Berlin Briefing, raids of shisha bars. Fiedler draws parallels in the fight against biker gangs, in which there have been many raids and bans, but the number of members in the individual clubs has not changed. Meanwhile, bikers have toned down their appearance in public, but business is still going on. Fiedler fears a similar scenario with the Klans. If politicians are able to sell small successes, the political pressure to act will drop again. For example, 77 properties of a Lebanese clan were confiscated in July of 2018. Although the clan has since been prevented from selling the properties, the rental income continues to go to the extended family. The effectiveness of the authorities in combating criminal clans has often ended where jurisdiction begins. Martin Steltner, spokesman of the General Prosecutor's Office, explained to the Berliner Morgenpost that the investigators are in a legally difficult situation. According to Steltner, quote, "The worst thing that can happen is that we make mistakes and it blows up in our faces." This also applies to the plans of Falko Leke of the CDU, a youth counselor in Neukölln, to get children and young people out of highly criminal families. Leke receives approval from criminalist Fiedler, who remarked, quote, "Children who are most likely to be born into a criminal career must be protected by the state." The youth counselor wants to submit a concept to the Berlin Family Court by mid-April. Berlin's club scene is an economic factor that should not be underestimated. A study by the Berlin Club Commission, the interest group representing the clubs, is confirming this. Club tourists bring Berlin revenues of 1.48 billion euros per year. According to the study, a quarter of the 13 million tourists came to Berlin to party in the club scene. Economic Senator Ramona Pop of the Green Party, whose administration sponsored the study, reported, quote, "Berlin's club culture is known worldwide and a trademark of the city." Further data from the study shows that 9,040 employees are working in Berlin's clubs, but only 30% are subject to social insurance contributions. Last year, sales amounted to 168 million euros. Added to this were almost 50 million euros in indirect sales, for example, money earned by beverage dealers, craft businesses, or hotels housing DJs. Lutz Leisenring, spokesman for the Club Commission, told the Berliner Morgenpost, quote, "The club scene itself is an important employer and economic sector, but even more important is its role as a source of inspiration for the city. This applies not only to tourism, but also to the recruitment of skilled workers. Clubs like Berghain, Tresor, or Watergate are an absolute unique selling point for Berlin." The positive effects of the club scene, as attested by the study, are well above the expectations of industry experts. They assumed that the turnover would be at 1 billion euros, and were surprised that it is as much as 1.5. Reasons for this are the rapidly increasing numbers of tourists and the uniqueness of Berlin's clubs. Despite the convincing figures, not everything in Berlin's club scene is rosy. Many operators are under pressure from rising rents and declining open spaces. According to Licensing of the Club Commission, a new trend is that cooperation with the administration is becoming more difficult. Particularly in outdoor facilities, permits are only being issued under strict conditions, and Licensing states that, quote, "This year, we are celebrating 70 years of the abolition of the curfew in Berlin. This rigid licensing practice is contrary to the city's sense of freedom." The Club Commission therefore calls for the introduction of the, quote, "agent of change" principle, which has recently been practiced in London. This means that building owners who invest near a club, for example, must provide passive noise protection. To stay updated on local Berlin news every weekday, subscribe to our podcast by visiting berlinbriefing.de, hear us on Spotify and bearradio.org, follow us on social media, or enable our Alexa skill. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.